And we're going to have God's word read to us, the passage indeed we've just been singing. Thank you very much. Richard is going to come and read from Matthew chapter 6, 19 to 34. Thanks, Richard.
So this is Matthew chapter 6 and starting at verse 19. And this is Jesus speaking. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moths and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moths and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food? And the body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the flowers of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon, in all his splendor, was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own.
Father, we thank you for your word for us and to us, which is your power to speak truth into our lives. And pray now as we open your word that you would break through into our minds, into our understanding. And we pray, Lord, that through it you would change us on the inside. You would build our faith, our love for you, we pray. Amen. Well, is there a sin, along with greed, that is seen as a kind of acceptable sin? Is there a sin we commit more than worry? Perhaps you woke up 10 minutes late on this particular day and 10 minutes later than you planned, and anxiety creeps in. What if I'm late for work? What if the traffic's bad? You go to the mirror, first mistake, second mistake, and you worry that your hair is going to have one of those days. It's just never going to get under control. And you worry your face has got more lines in it and your body's slightly bigger than previously. You rush downstairs and as the kids' lunchbox and stuff for school is rushed, you begin to worry about their diet. You remember one of them hasn't done their homework, and what if they don't do well at school, and what if they get in with the wrong crowd, and on and on. You then get a chance to unwind, and you, second mistake, go on social media, and you read how amazing other people's children are, about all the Bible they've been reading and all the baking they've been doing, and you worry you're a failure. You get up to crack on, but then crack, your knee creaks again. And you think, oh dear, ouch. You worry it's getting worse. So you go back online to do some self-diagnosis. You worry you may have to have an operation. Then what will happen to the children? What's going to happen? Who's going to care for your husband? You have a quick look at the news. And you worry about the crime in your community, the climate, the condition of the economy. And on goes the day, on and on. Finally, after a long, worrisome day, you place your head on your pillow and you can't sleep. You cannot sleep. You lie wide awake, worrying about life, worrying about jobs, kids, parents, church, health, driving, sleeping. This kind of unexplainable burden just weighs on you. Can you relate? If so, Jesus can help. Jesus can help massively. He has told us so far in the Sermon on the Mount about the character of kingdom people, about the influence of kingdom people in the world. He calls for a greater righteousness in his people. Not for man's applause. No, that's not what we're after, to be seen. But to bring him glory and to have a greater focus, a heavenward focus. People see having the most in life as the people who have made it, don't they? If you've got the most, you've kind of made it, is what people think, isn't it? But Jesus says, warning, big warning, earthly treasures do not last. Earth is an unsafe place to store your treasure. Also, they don't enlighten you. In fact, they have an unsafe effect on your heart. And they don't let go. That's what we did last week, isn't it? They try and master us. That's what they're trying to do. So far from having made it, to live with stuff as our goal and money and so on, to live as if there's no God and no judgment, actually, is to have made a mess of our lives. Kingdom people, don't store treasure on earth because you have a heavenly focus. And today, don't worry, because you have a heavenly Father. And you see verse 25, as Richard read to us, begins therefore, which clearly connects the two passages from last week and this week. Because when a person has heavenly treasure, when they live for light, and God is their master, well, they don't need to worry. They do not need to worry. But whilst living in this world, surrounded by those who do live for stuff, and with, of course, our indwelling sin problem, which goes towards this way of living, we need to be reminded often of God's care and often of kingdom focus, don't we? Now, worry is a very common sin. If we did a little sin study now, it'd be cheerful, wouldn't it? But if we counted and categorized our sins over this past week, very likely, for many of us, top the charts, probably. And maybe you're thinking now, oh dear, this is not going to be a very encouraging morning at church. I worry enough as it is, and now you're saying worry's a sin. Now I'm worrying about worrying. It's just adding to the burden. But here's the thing, if worry is just a character trait, what could help? But being a sin, God can forgive worry. And can help us conquer it by the Spirit's help. Not by kind of singing, don't worry, give a whistle, and always look on the bright side of life. No, Jesus is far deeper. He gets to the heart here, doesn't he? And firstly, saying, don't worry, because, is verse 25, life is more important than food, more important than drink, body shape, and clothes. I wonder how long it took some of us to decide what to wear today. I wonder how long it took some of us in front of the mirror this morning to get ready. Jesus is not against mirrors or looking nice or, of course, looking after our bodies. Absolutely not. He knows our needs we had a couple of weeks ago. He calls us to ask for our daily bread, doesn't he? His emphasis is on the war, the two masters, the war between God and stuff, on how we can and do tend to get engrossed in material things. And he wants to push us from this hyper-focus that we can have. So clothes and food are important, but the point is not life more? Yes, it is. So don't overdo the effort you put into those things. Don't waste time and energy on things that ought to be kind of way down the list of priorities. Just get some clothes, maybe try and get them to match on that, put them on, eat right, have some exercise, run a comb through your hair, but don't obsess. That's the point here, really. When I was at school, Nike Air, Champion jogging bottoms, Ocean Pacific t-shirts and clothing, United Colours of Benetton bags, Wallaby shoes, late 80s, early 90s, flying jackets, I think it was Tom Cruise, Top Gun inspired, 300 quid ones, it's all proper firm, colourful Swatch watches. For a time, they were the promised land, and many more things as well. I was largely a spectator on the catwalk school corridors, but by the time I did kind of get that cast-off Ocean Pacific t-shirt, the fashion had moved on. And some of us look back now and laugh at how we were so sucked in, but it's not so funny that some of us are still living like that today. Jesus says, clothes don't make a person. Life is more. I mean, can we imagine lying on our deathbeds saying, oh, if only I'd looked better in life. If only I'd had better hair in life. Is that really going to be going through our minds? Jesus says, don't worry so much about material things. Life is more important. And because you are more important. Verse 26, look at the birds of the air. They don't sow, reap, or store in barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Now, bird watching is seen by some as a bit old-fashioned, a bit of a quaint activity, hobby, but it seems a very biblical hobby. And you might even say that you're obeying Christ with your binoculars. And you're onto a good thing as well, because Jesus says, look at the birds, let them be preachers to you. They don't invest, they don't claim that investment, they don't store it up, but they are doing just fine. And when we hear them sing their little song, whatever they do, they're singing, thank you, God, for life. Thank you for all you provide. So look at them, Jesus says, and look at them and think. You don't mean just look, you meant to think. Have thoughts, not anxious thoughts. That's what we're getting away from. Have good thoughts. They are just birds. Yet God cares for them. How much more valuable am I? Well, yes, we are much more value. So is it not an insult to God, who made us in his image, to think that he is not going to care for us? Well, don't worry, because life is more important, because you are more important, and don't worry because it achieves nothing to worry. Verse 27. Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? I wonder if you've ever looked back on a difficult time in life and thought, how did I get through it? Oh, I know, it must be because I worried so much. Or maybe you look back at an exam grade and you've got a B and you think, oh, I could have got an A. If only I'd worried more. If only I'd fretted about it. Or imagine the interview with the winning sportsman. Well, it's been a tough old season. I'm grateful for the backroom staff, all their training and tactical help. But what's paid off the most are all the hours of worry I've put in. I've worried about missing shots. I've worried about getting injured. Hey, I've had whole training camps in warm climates devoted to worry. Maybe we should try it now for a minute. Think of a relationship that is a bit stressful for you. Think of medical stuff you don't understand. Think of anything that you're worried about at the moment or could be. People, stuff that matters to you, but you're not sure how it will work out. Now, for a moment, you've got that in your heads? Let's do a bit of worrying. Feel better? Does it help? Jesus isn't saying don't plan, is he? Absolutely not. Planning accomplishes things. Planning is good. You've got an exam, okay, you should work hard for it. All the rest of it. But the inescapable logic, as we all can see, hopefully, is that worrying adds nothing. If we can't do something, well, worry doesn't help. If we can do something, worry doesn't get it done, does it? Either way, it's pointless. It just uses up time. It uses up emotional energy. So don't waste time worrying, because God cares. And Jesus gets us back, verse 28, to clothes and nature. But he goes from birds to plants this time. And look at the flowers. There's some nice flowers, thank you. Whoever did that, don't know who it was. Look at the flowers. And we think, well, I don't have time to go in the garden and look at flowers. But you need to. She said, look at them. Just take time to look at them. Take a lily, some versions have. A lily is better dressed than Solomon. Kate Middleton, who's well-dressed these days? I don't know. Anyway, think who it is. And look at the grass. Have a look at the grass. We don't look at the grass too much, do we? We run around, we jump on it and play on it and stuff like that. We don't put it in a vase. Now, grass is waking up now, isn't it? Starting to enjoy a bit of warmth and a bit of rain today. Whether you pay $1,000 a year for Green Thumb to feed and care for your lawn, or whether you do it yourself, or whether you do nothing, whatever, with your grass, it just comes back, doesn't it? God does that. That's the point, isn't it? A flower lasts barely 2 weeks. Varies, isn't it? But it doesn't, it's a soulless thing. It just doesn't last long at all. Animals, flowers, grass are nothing like us. So logic, how much more will God, your Heavenly Father, clothe you? You might say, well, Jesus, aren't you being too simplistic? How can you just say, stop worrying? Well, he gets us to the how by getting us to see and understand the problem. And we see there, end of verse 30, it's a faith problem, isn't it? It's a faith problem. You have little faith, he says. Said the robin to the sparrow, I should really like to know why these anxious human beings rush about and worry so. Said the sparrow to the robin, friend, I think that it must be that they have no heavenly father. Such cares for you and me. See, worry happens when there is something, things, we're not believing about God. When we don't know him or about him, or we doubt his ability. Jesus is not saying it's okay to be irresponsible. Just like, don't bother laboring, just don't do anything. He's not saying that and it will work out. He's not trust fate. That's not what he's saying. The answer is theological. It's about God. It's based on the godness of God. And it's either that our faith is too small, or we have not followed faith to run, or allowed it to run its logical conclusion. And Jesus wants us to think logically. Not just to feel, but to think. As an idea, some of us stop and think. Just stop and think. Examine the logic. Plan, study, and hard work. And while you do, and once you've done, trust. Because faith is not a vague belief in God. It's very practical, extending to all aspects of our lives. See, worry wins in us, doesn't it? When it's all about us, it's all up to us. Or when we think we're on our own in some way. Or if we think we can handle it. So in one sense, this command is harder for the activists amongst us, those of us who are really busy people, really capable, kind of in control types. We worry when we're not sure someone else has got things under control. when you were a child, maybe you still are, but when you're a child, you don't realise the many benefits of being under responsible parents. For example, you get in the car maybe to go on holiday, and you just sit in the back with your pillow and your little things, wherever you do there, and just rest. Just have a few hours rest. You don't worry about the way. You don't worry about the petrol, the traffic. I could just see, I remember a holiday, I could see the back of my dad's head, and it's all good. He's got it. He's got it under control. Seemed to anyway. You can even sleep on the journey. And you can sleep well at night as a child. You just go to your bedroom, you go to bed. No worries. Parents, everything sorted. And Jesus is commanding us to this childlike faith. Like a faith in our earthly fathers, but so much more. And perhaps you heard about the chap who said to his friend, "You know what, I finally got rid of all my worries." And his friend says, "Really, how have you done that?" He says, "Oh, I've got a friend who I paid to worry for me." He said, "What? How much did it cost?" "Oh, it's £100 a day." He's like, "Well, you can't afford that." He said, "I know, but let him worry about that." Now, but the problem with that is we actually can trust God, not in a foolhardy way. So we don't have to clutch at this and that. Like, hold tight to our things is what we looked at a while ago. Be generous. Hang on to everything. No. We don't have to. Yes, be responsible. Yes, plan. But we don't have to worry because God cares. And next, because the pagans worry. Let me read those verses 31. "So don't worry, saying, 'What should we eat? What should we drink? What should we wear?' For the pagans run after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them." A pagan means non-Christian. Those not in the kingdom, or Gentiles in the context, in God's family. And what does it say about our profession of faith when we worry? I mean, some Christians worry so much, they might as well be atheists. Because they live as if God doesn't exist. And that's how the pagans live. They think life is all about earthly treasure. What they eat, what they drink, what they wear, what's stored up. Because they don't have a God who cares. Or a heavenly hope, do they? Are we different from unbelievers? How are we different? If we're consumed by worries, if we're consumed by stuff, by how we look, by what we wear, by our money, are we any different? If we're consumed by the same things that non-Christians are consumed by. Some of us may have been thinking for the last few minutes, hang on, God looks after the birds, okay, but what about birds that do go hungry? Don't worry sounds nice, but what about the many people in need of clothing? What about the many starving to death right now in the world? Well, we hear from Jesus elsewhere that not one sparrow falls without God knowing about it. So, of course, he knows each human as well, doesn't he? Every single one. And Jesus is not saying, because not to worry, everything's going to be all easy. He's not saying God's children escape hurts and death. But what's true is that we're not even to worry about our own lives, because our lives are in the Father's hands as well. See, God knows what we need each day. He knows, so long as we have days. And so long as we have days, we're not to worry. Those who serve money and stuff make it, many people make it their big goal to stay alive. Of course, they know they won't, but they try to, don't they? So vitamins and diets, jogging, pension, surgery, mostly important stuff. But remember, Jesus is pulling us here. He's pulling his kingdom people from the hyper-focus that we can have. So in the war between stuff and God, Jesus says, if you're going to be consumed by something, be consumed not with the same things the pagans are consumed by. Not even with your own life. That's what pagans are consumed by, consumed with their own lives. Be consumed with the kingdom. Don't worry, because the kingdom matters most. Just think, pictured a scene over the preacher on the mount. Jesus was looming, the shadow of the cross to come, wasn't it? And he was trusting his heavenly Father in life, in his ministry, and with his impending death to come on the cross for the sake of the kingdom. So he calls, look, look to the kingdom. Look to that which goes beyond this world. There is more than this life, much, much more. Look to his righteousness, his right way, kingdom way. And all these things will be given to you as well, because they're all God's anyway. You will lack nothing. It's back to verse 24, really, and who our master is. Because who we serve radically affects our ambition. Don't make life, this life, your goal. It's not don't have pursuits, don't have hobbies, but don't make this world, don't make the stuff of this world your home and your heart, if you like. See, Jesus doesn't want us to stop and settle now, because kingdom people are on their way somewhere. I asked Finn to go and get his football socks from the washing mountain at the top in our house. And as he went, I fiddled around downstairs, got a few things ready, like a drink to take to football and stuff. But seconds getting his socks turned into minutes, and I'm thinking, where is he? We need to go. Call up the stairs, Finn, come on, time to go. Eventually have to go up and investigate. And I find him in his bedroom playing, whatever he's doing. And I said, what are you doing, Finn? What are you doing? We're going to football. Oh, yeah, we're going to football. Yeah, come on, stay focused, get your socks, let's go. And that's a word for us too. Don't run after the things of this world. Don't stop and settle here, because we're going somewhere. Kingdom people are going somewhere. Keep focused on the task. Light, salt, all the other things we've looked at. Focus on the destination, on the eternal kingdom. So when it comes to the future, don't worry, because lastly, tomorrow is covered. Verse 34, therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. We think, yep, to the last bit, and what? To the next, for the first bit? Tomorrow, worry about itself, what? Well, this verse is a little bit, underline little, like that double roundabout on Norwich Road. Now, learners, if you're a learner driver, some free driving tips coming up now, okay? And now, some people approach that double roundabout with a rising panic. So, there's cars and things everywhere. They worry when they look at both. But the solution to dealing with that double roundabout is really quite simple. It's just deal with one roundabout at a time, isn't it? Get to the first roundabout, just look right, okay? Don't worry about the next one. Yes, plan accordingly. Have it in mind, so don't rush out of the first roundabout, but treat the first as a normal roundabout, and then when you come to the second, treat the second as a normal roundabout as well. Easy, isn't it? Our problem is, there are some crashes there, our problem is we don't do this in life. We look at today, and then we look at tomorrow, and then next week, and you get this rising panic in us. And we look at the lot, the whole thing, and we just, worry. But what Jesus is saying here is so profound and unbelievably helpful. And again, it's not don't make plans. Plans are good. Okay, plans are good, but don't worry. Because anxiety is to live out the future before it gets to us. What will happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my health, my job? What if I never marry? What if, what if? Jesus says, don't do that. Just live for today. Tomorrow, live for tomorrow. Well, we think, well, how can he say this? Tomorrow, look after itself. Well, it's because of the truth of the first song we sung this morning. The steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercy never comes to an end. They are new every morning. Each new day has enough trouble of its own. Yes, it does. But it also has enough mercies from God to get through the day. Our problems come when we pile up the troubles that don't belong to today. We look at the resources we have for the next 10 hours and we think, a busy day ahead, we think, well, okay, I might make this. 10 hours ahead, I've got these resources, I might make it. But then we make the mistake of looking at tomorrow and maybe beyond, what's coming and what might come. And we will worry because we don't have the resources for that yet. I can't make that. Well, no, we can't, because it hasn't come yet. Today we have today's trials and today's grace. Tomorrow we will have tomorrow's trials, and when we get there, tomorrow's grace. But we are not to borrow tomorrow's troubles, put them into today, when we don't have tomorrow's grace for that. That's why we get so worked up, isn't it? We have enough mercies for the next 10 hours ahead. But we don't have mercies yet for tomorrow, because his mercies are new every morning. Like the manna, a bit like the manna, isn't it, in the Old Testament? Jesus is saying, live trusting, resting on my grace each day. Don't feel what we need for tomorrow, but trust I will be there to meet you tomorrow. I'll be there for that. Have faith. God has the right balance of troubles and grace for each day, and we can count on trouble tomorrow in this fallen world. But don't worry, instead count also on the provision, and mainly on the provision for when the day of trouble comes. Maybe you hear people who have been through really tough times, and you say, well, I don't know how they got through it. I don't know how they managed. Well, they'd probably say the same thing. Yeah, I don't know how we managed as well. But the answer is they had the grace each day, because the steadfast love of the Lord never ceases. His mercies never come to an end, because they're new every morning. What a way to live, isn't it? That is an incredible way to live. That's an incredible way to think about the future. God will be there to meet me each day. What will happen tomorrow? Don't know. We could probably list 1,000 things that could happen tomorrow, couldn't we? How will my children turn out? What will my health be like? What if I have an accident? Where will I live? What about this or that relationship? We don't know. But we know one thing. When we get there, the Lord will have mercies for that day, for that tomorrow, because they're new every morning, because great is our Heavenly Father's faithfulness. So each new day is a chance, isn't it? Instead of worrying, to take God at his word, to put his kingdom first. What difference does it make to have a Heavenly Father? Honestly, in our hearts, what difference does it make? How do we stop worrying? We look at Jesus, don't we? As we sung earlier, we look full into his wonderful face. And we know that he cares. He cares for us. He is our King. He is here with us now. He will meet us tomorrow, next week, next month. He will meet us on the day when we pass from this world. When we fall asleep and then wake, he will meet us in the everlasting kingdom. Let us hold on to this truth.